Amen.
Amen.
All right, our reading will be taken from the book of Hebrews, chapter number 10, starting at verse number 19. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version. And it reads, "Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us, through the curtain, that is through his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Amen. Now, we want you to turn to your neighbor. You got a choice. You can grab him by the hand or you can just look at him. Amen. I got a cold because Pastor told me to hold him by the hand. He ain't putting it on me. If you want to hold the hand, it's up to you. But look at him. Make eye contact with somebody. Look at your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, we are in this together. Neighbor, we are in this together." Amen. You may be seated. We haven't.
That's right. We're in this together.
Yeah, y'all do have your own 4 hours. Amen. We have entitled our message this morning, "We are in this together." Now, the writer of Hebrews was someone who understood the significance of the people of God functioning as one body in Christ. The one mistake that is made in churches is that when people who are in the church move as though they are on an island all by themselves, or they feel that they are in isolation and that everything that they do has to happen with them, through them, and if they don't do it, it's not going to occur. That is not how the church is to function. In order for the church to truly be a living, breathing organism that's healthy and prosperous, meaning successful, and empowered, is when we move forward, y'all, what?
Together.
See, but there's something that we have to get from this scripture, because what the focus is this. He ends with the concept of us working and moving forward together. But he starts off with this. It starts off with the me. You see, we understand that we are a congregation. We are the body of Christ. But until we understand that the one organism and piece of organism that we are within this body, if we're not functioning correctly, it will distort what happens in the body as a whole. So it is important for each one of us to be accountable for our relationship. And then we can encourage each other in their relationship with Christ. Because until we own it, I can't tell you, you need to own it. Amen? So what we're going to do initially is that we're going to look at what the writer is telling us we need to do individually to impact us collectively. We are seeing here in verses 19 and 20 something now rather than just say, let me just read it again. Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way he has opened for us through the curtain that is through his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God. The writer is reaching out to the Hebrews who have been now become the follower of the way, Christians. And to us, it might not make a lot of sense in talking about this curtain. We hear about it, but I got to go and elaborate so it'll bring some clarity. Because again, he's writing to an audience of the first century and second century, in the beginning of the second century, because they were very familiar with what the Hebrew temple looked like. Because the way it worked was that you had the multiple courts, and then you had the courts where the priests were, and then there was the curtain or the veil. And the only person who went behind the veil was the high priest to make the offering for himself and all the people. Yes. And before the high priest went in, Reverend Rhodes, he put on a robe that had bells at the bottom. And he also, they tied a rope around him as he went into the Holy of Holies to make the offering for himself and the people. And nobody else was allowed to go into the Holies of Holies, which means that they had to stay on this side of the curtain and just keep listening. And what they would keep listening for is the bells, because if they kept hearing the bells, they knew that he was doing all right. And the whole purpose of tying a rope around his waist was that if he had did anything that was offensive to God while he is in the Holies of Holies, when God struck him down, nobody wanted to go in and get him. They would just grab the rope and they would just drag. So that was the purpose for putting the rope around him. But think about this. That one person went in there representing everybody and bringing their offering and worship to God. Jesus came so that we no longer have to wait outside the holies of holies. The Lord came and tore the curtain or the veil from the top to the bottom. Opened up the holies of holies, which means that Deacon Aldridge, we didn't have to have nobody go and worship for us or pray for us. We can go and pray for ourselves. We don't need somebody to tell God how good he is for us. We can do it for ourselves. Nobody can tell my story like me, because ain't nobody lived my story but me. Nobody knows all the Lord has done for me but me. And when I give it all to the Lord, I don't need somebody to shout for me. I'm going to shout for myself, because the Lord has been mighty good to me. He brought me from nothing and made me into something. I'm going to tell my own story. So I thank God for Jesus opening the door so that we can now come in. I don't need nobody to shout for me. I can do it for myself. So Jesus came, y'all, to open it up so that we can come into the holies of holies. And when we come into the holies of holies, well, I'm going to just get by. I'm going to come on in the church. Hopefully the Lord going to bless me, because I'm here, so Lord, I'm hoping you're going to do something for me. That is contradicting everything that is said in verse 19. Because if you are a child of God, you should be able to come into God's sanctuary with confidence, knowing that you are washed and covered in the blood of the Lamb, and that the Lord is the one who made a way for you to come in. He's the one that has given you an invitation. And now that you've got that invitation, you're going to step in and say, Lord, I thank you for bringing me through another week. I thank you for keeping me in my right mind. I thank you for blessing my family. I thank you for all that you've done. So if I'm in the holies of holies, I've got confidence
and the God whom I serve, who's been mighty good to me. Do I got any folk in here who know how good God is? Do I got any folk in here who know it's nobody but the Lord, who's been there with you through thick and through thin? Woo! I told him in the back I felt like preaching today. You see, you know what? Can I tell you something? Sometimes, I mean, we have folk who come to churches. None in this church. Where they are afraid to come in with confidence, with their heads up high. Because Sister Sarah, somebody know about some of your dirt who are worshiping up in there with you. And every time they see you get happy, they look at you sideways. And say, well, you know, child, I know where you've been. I know what you've done. So how are you going to come in here and act like you've done that you all that a bag of chips, two sodas, and a shake on the side? Well, I want you to understand something. Everybody up in here has some history that if you could, you would go and you would erase it. And I want you to know that Jesus already knows your history. He knows all that you've done. And he still made the door open for you. He still covers you in his blood. And you can come into God's house. So don't you dare feel that you got to be sheepish in your praise. I'm going to praise God in confidence. You might know all about what I did, but that's all right. I'm still going to praise God because he still opened the door for me. He still made a way for me. He still is blessing me. So I don't care what you know about what I done did. I know what I am right now. I'm a child of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He paid the price for me. He took my sin to the cross. And I'm going to let you give me a side-eyed look, and I'm going to be quiet. Since you know that you got a high priest who has been there for you. You see, Deacon Booth, now that we understand that we can have confidence coming into the sanctuary because we're covered in the blood. And Jesus is the one that gave us the invitation and told us, come in. And we've done that. But we have to see something. Verse 22 is showing us something. And what it says in verse 22, he says, let us approach with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. How many broken hearts come to church? How many wounded folk are up in here who feel that you've been broken and that you are dirty and you don't deserve to be clean? Because the truth be told, a lot of mistakes that we made, the devil ain't make us do them. Matter of fact, he couldn't make us do any of them. Every mistake we made, we did. Because of the fact that we didn't think about all the stuff that could go wrong afterwards. But what the Lord here is telling us, we got to come with a true heart. True heart meaning that, Lord, this is me.
Here I am, Lord.
I wish I had it all together, but I don't. So I'm bringing a true heart. So, Lord, I just want you to help me right now because I ain't trying to come with a hidden agenda. I ain't trying to come to create problems in your house. I ain't trying to come to make things worse but make things better. But, Lord, I know how my mouth can be sometimes. So, Lord, help me to be better. And, Lord, and I need a sprinkling from you. I need you to pour that pure anointing upon my life. I need you to help me to be the best me that I can be. I recognize that I stumble sometimes. I recognize I get mad sometimes. I recognize I don't dot all my I's and cross all my T's. I understand I don't do all that I ought to do all the time. So, Lord, but I'm bringing you in. This is who I am. Folk might look at me and think I'm the best thing going. But, Lord, you ain't looking on the outside. You looking on the inside. You know where we ain't right. So, Lord, in order for us to get right, stay right, and be right, you've got to come to God with a true heart. I can fool you. You can fool me. But ain't nobody. Remember how I mentioned earlier about how the wind revealed the condition of trees? There are some trees that you looked at in your yard. And Brother Armstead, you looked at that tree swaying. You like, yeah, that one sure enough gonna break. That tree kept swinging. It was doing the wind dance. But then you looked over at that other tree over there that looked real sturdy. Had a nice big base to it. The bark looked real good on the outside. But after the storm was over, that one tree you thought was going to snap, that tree made it through the storm. But what happened, Sister Fee? That tree that you thought was going to be the one that make it, that's the one that snapped. And when it snapped, you saw on the inside of that tree, that bad boy was just as rotten as it could be on the inside. You see, I want you to understand, that's how it is when folk come to church trying to play church rather than letting the Lord get on the inside of them. Because God wants to get on the inside of us. He's got to clean us from the inside out. And sometimes we don't understand that until the Lord sends a storm our way. And when he sends a storm our way, we come to realize that, Lord, I ain't right on the inside. And I need you to fix me up. Anybody need to be fixed up? Lord, fix me up from the inside out. Because God wants us to come with a true heart. Check this out. In full assurance of faith. We're here because we have faith. We're here because we know that we couldn't have made it this far if we didn't have what?
Faith.
Some of us would have lost our minds if we didn't have. Some of us would be locked up because we would have did something stupid if we had not. You see, it's only because of our
faith
that we are here right now. Because when times got rough, we started to do something stupid. But then the Lord said, don't you remember what I did for you last time? Do you remember how I made a way out of no way? Do you remember how I was there with you through thick and through thin? And as you begin to reflect, you said, Lord, I thank you. So, Lord, I ain't going to turn back now. I've come too far. I know the enemy is trying to get me to go left and right. But I'm going to stay assured in my faith. Because I know, Lord, it is only you who has kept me where I am right now. Do I got any folk who ain't ashamed to say, Jesus, it's only you who has kept me, who has blessed me, who is with me right now. It's all because I've made a decision to walk by and not by. You see? Lord, we thank you for sprinkling us to make us clean from an evil mind and cleaning our bodies. You see, when we understand how much God loves us, he helps to renew our minds and our hearts, because we understand something. I still ain't above sinning.
Come on now.
All right now.
You heard what the word I just said?
Yes.
I said I. No, make it I first. We getting to the we though. We're gonna get to the we, I promise. But the I says I ain't above sinning. Sinning still hangs out by me every chance it gets. You know how them flies when it's summertime and y'all having that good family cookout? And you sitting there enjoying all that food and constantly while you're eating, what you gotta keep doing? You got to keep fanning the flies because you got to keep them away from the good stuff. And don't you know that that's what happens with us? That the Holy Spirit helps us fan the evil and the sin that's trying to get the best of us. But that's why we got to keep moving forward in faith and understand that we're not above sinning. It's when we stop fanning, it's when it can land. So that being the case, none of us, I am not above sin. That's how come I got to make it my business, just like you got to make it your business, to let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without what? Wavering. For he who has promised, he is what?
Faithful.
Oh, he is faithful. You see, we as God's people, Mother Austin, oh, I just love you. Because I can use you in so many different examples. If you ever hugged Mother Austin, have you ever shook Mother Austin's hand? Has she ever smacked you on the back? She's 96. They say that the 90s is now, when you're in your 90s, that's after new 60s and 70s. Mother Austin is a living testament that it's the new 60s and 70s. And what Mother Austin is saying to you, what you're feeling from her is what's on the inside of her. What she is saying is that she's been holding fast to the Lord. Because the Lord is the one who has kept her, and the Lord is the one who is keeping her. And not just her, he's doing the same thing for all of us. But we got to make a decision to make it our business to hold fast to what we know is our hope. You got to confess what God has done. You got to talk about where God brought you from. Sometimes you got to remind yourself, I ain't get here because I'm all that. I'm here because the Lord has blessed me. When I made the decision to walk by faith, I'm now giving you my confession of hope of what my God can do. And if that ain't good enough, I want you to know the one who I serve, he's faithful. And what God said he's going to do, he's going to do it. That's why our God is what? And I am thankful that we serve a God who is what? Because he has been there with us through what? Thick and thin. You know what? There's some folk you got to wonder where they're going to be when stuff starts to happen. But when it comes to the Lord, you know exactly, Reverend Rose, where he's going to be. He's going to be right there with you, walking you through it. And when you get too weak, he's going to lift you up, and he will carry you over. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You didn't know how you was going to get through it. But it was nobody but Jesus who brought you through, because our God is. Thank you, Lord, because you are faithful.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
You see, verses 19 to 23 show us what I ought to be about. Because if I know what I'm going to be about and what I need to do, then to me, can now have an impact to the we. Because I recognize the value, Sister Davis, that God has given me. I thought I wasn't worth 2 cents. But God said, child, you don't know. You are more valuable than you ever understand. All you got to do is look at what Jesus did for you. And now that I know how valuable I am to God and how God has blessed me, it's not just enough. You see, because I want you to know God is so good and fills us so much that we just can't keep it. Now let me show you. Can I show you what I'm talking about? I can show you real good. Because 19 through 23 talk about how I got to get it right. Because as I get it right, this is why I got to get it right. Because in verse 24 he says, let us consider how to provoke one another to what? Love and what?
Diligence.
I'm going to stop right there. Sister girls in here, you ain't got to look, just look up. All of y'all done had some brother that done lied to you. To tell you, baby, you know I love you. You know I love you. Girl, you know I didn't love you. And that whole, I'm sorry, players, I ain't mean to put your game out like that, but it's how it is. I'm sorry, players. Sisters, y'all got my back, right? Y'all got my back, right? You got to understand, when folk in those cases say they love you.
Check your wallet.
You know you go to comedy shows and tell you ain't no hecklers, right? But the reality is that means that they're trying to get something from you. Their whole purpose is telling you how much they love you. Is they want some. And it's really not genuine. But when a child of God says to another child of God, I love you, it's genuine. Because I understand from verses 19 to 23 who I am and what value God has showed me I have. And now that I have that value, it is left up to me to take that which God has given me and share it with somebody else. You see, because there's somebody in this church who loves the Lord, but they feel unlovable because some folk have treated them wrong. They've been in a bad relationship. They in the family, folk have called them to be the odd sheep. I ain't going to use the other term. You the oddball in the family. So since you're the oddball, everybody has always dealt with you from a distance. So now that you're in church and you gave your life to Christ, you're so used to everybody dealing with you from a distance. And you've heard folk in your family told you how much they love you, but they just said the word, but you never saw the action. You see, what the writer of Hebrews is telling us, if you're going to tell folk you love them, you ought to tell them you love them, and they should be able to see the love through the good deeds you do for them. That it's not just what you say, it's what you do. You see, I can say one thing, but what do I do after I say something? You know, I could tell my wife all day long, baby, you know I love you. But she ain't got nothing to drive. We ain't got a roof over our head. There's no food on the table. There ought to be some evidence in the love that I have for her. The evidence ought to be the roof over her head. She got a clothes on her back. She got a bed to sleep in. She know that when she wake up, she got some heat in the house. She know for a fact that everything is going to be taken care of, because there ought to be some actions that go along with that word that say, I love you. So the same ought to be true about the brothers and sisters in Christ. There are folk around us who are here who love God. And it is our job to do what we can to help. Help them through their hurt. Help them through their pain. Help them through their disappointment. Help them through the abuse that they've been through. Help them to deal with the separation of loved ones being called home to glory. To help them when their children ain't acting right. To help them no matter what's going on. There's not a job right now. We got to learn how to put forward some good deeds. And I thank God that we are a church that truly cares about one another. But all the things that you see and see and experience through the ministries that we have here at this church, if you are in need, this church is here to be a blessing to you. But we want you to understand, don't try to play us and gonna try to get over on us, because we ain't got to deal with that. You do with God. But we gonna do the right thing, because we love you. And we're gonna show you through our good deeds. Do you see what I'm saying? The first 19 through 23. Talk about me. Now 24 is telling me that I got to be provoked, and I got to deal with provoke for a second. Now when you talk about provoking, that's moving folk to action. We want to move folk to action, to show love and share and do good deeds.
You see, it's not just enough for you to do it, but you gotta help somebody else to perform those same actions.
Amen.
Because you know what? When the more of us who are doing it, the easier it is for us to move forward.
Amen.
You see, God has got a lot in store for Broad Rock Baptist Church.
Awesome.
You know, the interesting thing was the choir today said, you know, we full, and this choir has been singing up here with a full choir for a good little while now.
Amen.
And normally we have a whole lot more folk here than this, but I understand I'm looking right now, I'm seeing a couple of pews looking back at me. I don't like looking at pews looking at me. That's telling me that we need to do more work. That means that's telling me that there are some things that we can do. It's not just enough for you to come to church, praise God, clap your hands, and go home. You ought to see a responsibility of being the best you that you can be and sharing with somebody else so you can bring them to church so that they can know what you know to make a difference in their lives. That's called love through good deeds. Shucks, I ain't gonna invite nobody. That means they're gonna want me to pick them up. And you know they always running late. Well, guess what? You let them know, listen, I'm gonna be through there at X time and I need you to be ready. And just to assure that, I'm gonna call you an hour and a half ahead. All right, I'm coming in an hour and a half. Be ready. Because I need to get to church. I like sitting on a fourth pew in the middle, and I don't want to let nobody get my... I'm just playing on that one, but... Well, but what I'm saying, don't see helping somebody as an inconvenience.
Amen?
Amen.
All right. Now, before we get to this next part, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor.
Neighbor.
Don't get mad at me.
Don't get mad at me.
I ain't gonna get mad at you.
And
we're not gonna get mad at Pastor.
We're not gonna get mad at Pastor.
They mumbled that last part. Look at this. Look at verse 25. Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some. You know, some of us, well, all right, I'll use myself. When I first moved here to Virginia, I took a pay cut. So I had a full-time job, wasn't pastoring yet. So I took on a part-time job to supplement my income to help pay bills. And the whole purpose of the part-time was to supplement the full-time to help pay bills. Some of y'all have done that. Some folk did it when you were younger because of the fact that you wanted to buy a house and you didn't want to wait too long. So, Brother Leeper, you worked a part-time job with your full-time job so you could save money faster to buy your house. That's good. But what's not good is that God don't need part-time Christians.
All right.
All right.
Because what you're saying, if you're a part-time Christian. Now, wait a minute. Let me show you in Scripture. Not neglecting to meet together, as it is the habit of some. So there are some Christians who come to church and get involved part-time. Y'all hear that mouse going to grow? Got quiet. Don't worry, it's not a mouse in here for real. Man. What I'm saying is this. The purpose of the part-time is to supplement. And if you are a part-time Christian, Sister Pat, what you're saying is that you want God to just supplement in your life when you need him to be there. What you're saying is that I don't need him all the time. What you're saying is that God is secondary in my life, but there's something that's primary over God. And if there's something that's primary over God, that's why you are a part-time Christian. Because what you are saying is that there's something that is more pressing, more important in my life than me serving God. So I come to church when I feel like it. Or I come to church when I got a problem. Or I come to church when I need money. Or I come to church when I need help. So I'm using church on a part-time basis to supplement what I need from God when I need it. And it's the part-time Christians that get frustrated with you when you don't move fast enough to help. But the question I have to ask you, When Jesus came, did he give part or did he give full? Could you imagine if the God whom we serve was our God on a part-time basis? That means he wouldn't be with us 24/7. He'd only be with us part-time. I don't know about you. I don't want God to ever be part-time in my life. I don't ever want God to take his hand off of my life. I never want the covering that God has over me to ever get removed from my life. What about you, my brothers and my sisters? It's time, if you are a part-timer, for you to transition and to become a full-fledged Christian. Get fully involved. Yes, I know you're saved. Yes, I know you love the Lord. But your actions telling us you are. It's time to transition. We don't need no more part-time Christians. We want folk who love the Lord and who can do the best they can for the Lord. I'm not talking about folk who are caregivers. I'm not talking about folk who just have a rigorous work schedule and you can get here when you can. I'm not talking about you. Because sometimes you come here, you're exhausted from all the stuff you've been doing at work. But you say, Lord, I couldn't do that at work unless I'm here. So I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about those folk that wake up on Sunday. They look outside and say, well, it looks like it's getting ready to rain. God, I get back. So you go back and get in that bed. We're not part-time Christians. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor. He ain't talking about me. Is he talking about you? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Y'all, you know why I'm saying all this? Because I want to encourage you. Because when you look here at the rest of that verse, it says, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. What the writer is letting us know, if you're a part-time Christian, if the Lord come when you ain't there, you missed out. But if you're full-time, it don't matter when he show up, you already there. You see, my brothers and sisters, the day when the Lord is coming back, do we know when he's coming back? No. I don't know when he's coming back. We've had folk try to calculate when he's coming back. Guess what? The Lord ain't tell nobody when he's coming. He just come when he want, how he want. So we have to understand, if you want to make sure you are there when he come, you are not going to be a part-time Christian. You are fully engaged. You have transitioned from part-time to full-time. Truth be told, all of us ain't always been full-time Christians, those of us who are full-time. There was a time we would come every now and then, but something happened and the Lord stepped in, and once the Lord did it, we told the Lord, Lord, if you fix this, I'll be there full-time. He said, you told me that before. But you said, no, Lord, I mean it this time. But are you understanding what I'm saying to you? We got to encourage one another. The day of us beating each other down doesn't work no more, y'all. But we got to see the reality of where we are. We can't see where we can be until we understand where we are. It's where we are that we have to understand. Because if I don't understand where I am, when the Lord takes me somewhere else, I can fall back to where I am because I don't understand why I am where I am. Did you get that, y'all? So what we have to understand with all of this, what we're seeing here in verses 24 and 25, is that if you're a part-time Christian, how can you say that we are in this
together?
Because there are times I look up and I'm looking for you, right, and you're nowhere to be found. Right. But you know what? You told me if I needed you or we can help one another, but I don't see you but every now and then. So what I'm saying to you today, my brothers and sisters, somebody is depending on you because you said something to somebody and that person keeps looking for you. And before you know it, they find themselves at church more than you're at church. And before you know it, they don't want to talk to you because they're like, wait a minute, you ain't got nothing to show me because I don't ever see you enough to tell me anything. I'm here more than you are. So what is it that you can help me with? But what we want to do is be in a situation where we can help who? One another. We got to be able to be there. Now, I understand that you know, something comes up sometime.
Amen.
Or issue occurs sometime.
Yeah.
That you might not be able to get to church for whatever reason.
And then guess what? Everybody go on vacation every now and then.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Everybody's entitled to that. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the other folk. But to those folk, it's time to transition.
Amen.
Make the transition and make God your priority.
Amen.
Don't allow him to stay secondary in your life. Move him to the priority where he needs to be in the forefront. Because the Bible specifically says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all things shall be added unto you. And you're wondering why some things ain't working right? Because you're not implementing the plan that God has given each one of us in order to utilize, in order to be blessed by him. And since we're not utilizing the plan that God has given us, we walk around frustrated and angry and mad at everybody, want to blame everybody for what we don't have. But the reality is, the only person you need to blame is the one you're looking at in the mirror. So what am I saying? Let's move forward, church.
Yes.
Let's be the best that we can be.
Amen.
Let us utilize this choir and their numbers as a symbol of what we want our service to be like every Sunday. Not just sometime, but every time. Because we recognize how good God has been. We know where he brought us from.
Amen.
We know where we are right now. And we didn't get there because of who we are. We got there through the grace and mercy of our God.
Amen.
And since we understand, we come with confidence, with the faithful assurance, and knowing that God is the one who has blessed us, and we're coming with a true heart, sprinkled from all the evil consciousness, and being our bodies being poured with pure water. We're holding fast to what we know and where God has brought us, and we understand that we have a hope that no other folk might not understand, but we believe because we serve a God who is faithful.
Yeah.
And since he is faithful, I'm going to do my best to continue to help somebody else through the love and through my deeds of good work, because I want them to know that we are in this work
together.
And since we are in this together, we're going to make it our business to be in God's house, not just for Sunday, but get involved with our times of study.
Amen.
Come on to Bible study. Come on to Sunday school.
Amen.
Come on and get involved with a ministry or two in our church, because we want you to be able to truly say and mean it, and folk can see it, that we are in this
together.